This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack, but with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Watley on KLZ 560.
Good afternoon and welcome to Haystack Help Radio. Thank you so much for being with us. It's that day we call Your Money Matters, brought to you by Affordable Interest Mortgage, your one-stop shop for all of your mortgage needs. Their number is 720-895-0500. And the brains behind...
Oh, stop.
Well, I was going to say your wife.
Let me finish. Okay. And the woman running the office. There you go. It ain't me.
All right.
She tells me when I have to go to work.
The guy that sits in the big chair in the back of the building, Mr. Kurt Rogers, with us. How are you?
Nice to see you.
Good to see you, sir.
And, well, we finally got down below freezing.
We did.
I forgot to shut my sprinkler system off last night.
Uh-oh.
My wife wakes up at 1:30 and she says, yo, genius. Sprinkler system's gone.
Hey, it is pretty when it freezes. You just got some water features out there.
It wasn't quite cold enough. I guess Thursday, is it Friday morning, Thursday night? Supposed to get down around 27.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. But we had some beautiful weather. What was it, Saturday?
Saturday. 78, 80
gorgeous.
Degrees.
Yeah.
No wind.
No wind. Picture perfect, for sure.
Beautiful fall Colorado day.
Absolutely. Well, before we get to our special guest today, Miss Allison Wall, or Mrs., I should say. Allison Wall is with us. We're going to talk a little real estate, Kurt. Let's talk on your side for a minute here. Are there any new loan programs out right now helping home buyers during this time?
There's new loan programs out to buyers, but they're not really new. They've been around for a long time, but when rates were down around 2.5% or 3%, these loans weren't attractive because the rates for these were actually higher. A lot more people are looking at ARMs because it allows them to be able to – the rate's going to be lower, the closing costs could be lower, and they're able to get into the home for less money. Mm-hmm. So we're seeing they're active. One that's always was popular when rates were around 6 and 7% is called a 2-1 buy down. So if you find a loan where the rate's 6.5%, you qualify at that rate, but for the first year, your payment's on 4.5%. So you're going to save, I've seen customers save as much as $852 a month just in that drop for 2%. And then the next year, the rate's going to go to 5.5%. You still save about $400, and then it just falls in. There's many advantages to do that. And as we talk with Allison, she'll kind of explain why home sellers now are kind of attracted to that, because it makes it a lot easier. You don't necessarily have to give up the concession to pay for that as the seller, because it's going to come in the appraised value.
Right.
So there's ways to make it work for both sides. So we're seeing a lot more home buyers use those right there. There are some first-time home buyer programs, too.
Right. You know, I don't think any of us could have foreseen all that happened here, you know, since January. But did this happen even quicker once the ball started rolling than you thought?
Yeah. Once they opened the door and that ball started moving, I've never in 22 years, or I look back in history, have seen rates double in 4 months.
Wow.
They went from 3 to 6, 4 months. Took them no time. They've kind of settled now, in the upper sixes, but they got there pretty quick. Mm-hmm. It was pretty shocking. We all knew it was coming.
Right.
You could ask anybody. Everything was going to change, but not at the speed in which it changed.
Not poof.
Hello. That was the biggest shock for people, and they're still trying to figure out how to get over it.
Sure.
And there's many people say, well, rates are going to go back to 3. No. Not going to happen. Firmly believe that, but will they stabilize out in time? Mm-hmm. Yes. Will it be in the next 6 months? No.
Okay.
They're going to continue to stay here, go up a little bit.
Right. Kurt and his crew will help you out all they can, 720-895-0500. And once again, it's Affordable Interest Mortgage. Well, as I mentioned, good to have Allison Wall back with us. She is with Keller Williams DTC.
Hello.
How have you been?
I've been great. It's so good to be back.
I know.
And be
it's
with
been
you.
A while.
I was going to say, you've been out of the country for 2 weeks now.
Well, I did go have a little jaunt. My daughter's turning 16 this year, so I took her to have some fun. We were trying to plan a Sweet 16, and every idea we came up with, we were like, that's okay. Yeah. That's a whole lot of girls, and that could be some girl drama. We don't want girl drama. So I just took her, and we went somewhere fun. Yeah.
Wow, that's really cool.
Yeah. A little tired from the flight?
A smidge.
Just a smidge.
A smidge, yeah.
So you don't have to disclose where all you went, but just attitudes of people shopping and restaurants and all, or what's the economy like, seem like in some of the places maybe you went?
Well, you know, when people are traveling, I don't think they're on a budget mindset.
Yeah, right.
So I went to Europe, and the euro is a dollar for dollar exchange right now. So that feels good. You know,
right.
I mean, we've seen sometimes when it's, you know, it's $1.60, $1.70, mm-hmm. or, you know, so it was just like, oh, okay. You know, but the thing that it kind of blew our minds is we're sitting in a restaurant and we order our meals and walk away and there's no tip and virtually no tax. And we go, okay, we both just ate and left here for what it would cost for one of us to eat at home. You know, so mm-hmm. A little bit of that.
It's kind of nice.
It was nice, but you have to keep in the back of your mind that as you're entering museums and the child under 18 is free and you're only paying for yourself and the meals are this way and you don't tip, it's all because they pay a whole lot more taxes and just have a whole different structure over
right.
there.
Yeah.
So.
Right. Yeah. This part's free. You're paying for it over there.
They paid for me in yeah. some way, so in their system somewhere else.
Right.
But
so I asked Kurt the question on the mortgage side of things, and you know, from January till today, I mean, how surprising on your end did this ball start rolling in this way?
Yeah, the speed, just like Kurt said, the speed is what was shocking. So I don't like to be a prognosticator and throw out, you know, how much I think the market will shift throughout the year, but when I do market updates, that's what people love to hear. They mm-hmm. want to know, where are we going to be a year from now? What is the market going to look like at the start, you know, January of every year? What does Allison say? How much growth mm-hmm. are we going to get? I want to know what she thinks.
Mm-hmm.
And just because the people that are in my sphere, that are my clients, trust me, they want to
sure.
know what my thoughts are, right? And my prognostication for this year was 10% growth in home prices. I'm probably going to be about right by the time we finish out the year.
Right.
At where we are right now, we're 8% year over year. So I may end up shooting a little high. When we were shooting from January to April, I'm looking at that going, boy, was I way off the mark.
Yeah.
Now, the reason I said 10, and I told everyone this, I said, I'm expecting a correction. I'm not saying that we're 10 and we're going to inch out at 1 or 2% in January, 1 or 2% in February.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be because we're going to correct. I thought it was all going to be buyers just being done with the seller insanity
right.
of, I expect you to give me this much. I expect your children and a gold bar and a year's worth of Lucky Charms in the cabinet of my next house. You know, that
right.
was what I thought
sure.
was going to tip it, and it wasn't.
No.
Yeah.
All that, and you bring up a good point, that the buyers were wanting to get to that point, but inflation and rates got them there a whole lot faster
That's
than
right.
they thought. Everything just changed because mm-hmm. there's much more negotiation going on. There's still homes out there that are demanding a lot of bids and pricing going up, but there's other homes, and we'll get into that, that aren't moving quite as fast, and you have to negotiate both sides now.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. This is not what we would statistically call a buyer's market. It's technically still a seller's market. We have less than 2 months of inventory,
right.
but it feels in many, many, many cases mm-hmm. like a buyer's market.
Yeah, there seems to be a conflict. Some people say, well, if I'm buying, it's my market, and the sellers are going, no, it's still mine. And there's negotiations going on that become mm-hmm. difficult.
And I think the reason there's that tension between what kind of market are we in is because we have never been in the market that we've been in over the past 2 years, ever, historically, where things have moved so quickly, been in the bidding wars that we've been in, see home prices increase as rapidly week over week, month over month, like we did in that COVID pandemic relocation opportunity season that we just came out of,
mm-hmm.
With money pouring in from so many places. And the speed and the pace of the market clearly made it a seller's market in a way that nobody would have ever fathomed, especially in the first 6 weeks of COVID when everything shut down and the whole world
sure.
thought we were caving into a recession like we're going back to 2008.
Mm-hmm.
So when we didn't, and everything spun around into a whole new direction. Now when we come out of that so quickly, people are like, oh, well, you know, now it's a buyer's market, even though we only have 6 weeks of inventory.
And I think one of the big changes that I've seen is not knowing buyer or seller, but how is it, because you're one of the few realtors that I know that you do a lot of business with builders. Mm-hmm. And they're always looking 6 months to a year down, their budget's down the road.
Yep.
And with it moving this fast, what are some of the, is it still a good idea to buy a new built home? What are some of the pros and cons on that? How's that affecting the builders?
So builders across the board are pulling back on permitting, which is the last thing we need, because we do not have enough
homes,
inventory anywhere, nationwide, doesn't matter. Denver is an expensive place to build. It's an expensive place to get permits, an expensive place to move dirt. It's just an expensive place for builders to do business. So here they're much quicker to tighten up their belt and cinch things in, and they have. They are moving their specs through. They've been pushing on the incentives and trying to make sure they're moving the inventory, and it's not going to sit there. They don't want to do the price drops, but you know, they'll do what they need to do. What I'm telling my clients, which I will tell you, so many people are calling me, asking me about new construction. Nobody is talking to me about buying an existing home in this market. Please, someone tell me why. this is the market to get a home that is an existing home and get a deal, because you've got someone else on their side who is willing to negotiate with you. We'll talk about that. Anyway, we'll stick with the new construction right now. But I tell them all, please do not be stuck on building from dirt. Because if you are, you're committing to 1 year with a builder and their contract. And let me remind you that that means you're in the builder contract, which is builder friendly. It is not a state contract. It is not oriented toward you. It does not have protections for you. The only entity it is protecting is the builder in every way, shape, or form. All you get is mediation and arbitration. That's it.
It always surprises me, so many people going out when they're looking at a new build, they won't take a realtor with them, because I think subconsciously they think that costs them money, which it doesn't.
No.
And like you just said, everything is designed for the builder in that scenario.
Everything.
You have no options. You lose from day one.
Yeah.
And you're walking into an area that they can do whatever they want, take as long as they want to build it, and at the end say, well, we'll just keep your $20,000, $30,000 and have a nice life.
Yes.
It surprises me, and I don't understand always why they don't take a realtor, because you cost them nothing.
No, that's right. It costs nothing.
And you can protect them to a degree.
I help them navigate. I'm the bridge. Yeah. I understand the process. I understand how to help them read the contract, know their risks, when to bring in an inspector, how to use the inspector, why you would pay for an inspector, how to discuss with the salesperson, when to talk to the supervisor, when to go to the vice president. I mean, what words not to say. One of them, don't say lawyer. They'll quit talking to you. Then they're only going to talk to your lawyer and everything stops.
Yep.
There are so many things. Mm-hmm. But this is not, in my opinion, the market to be locked in from dirt with a builder. What do you do for new construction? You buy a spec home that's ready in 3 months.
There was a survey that came out after the last price increase mm-hmm. that they had. Within the next week, 37% of the people that had put money down on a new build canceled. Because it was going to take too long, and the rates, they saw them move it, and they said, we can't afford that. Because, like you said, when you're a year down the road, your money's at risk in that deal.
Yes.
And if you're not ready for the rates to even go higher, then it's going to hurt you.
Because most people are going to end up using the in-house lender. You don't have to. You're never required to. And sometimes you can do better outside. Go mm-hmm. with someone like Kurt, who's going to have options and opportunities and can leverage some different scenarios for you. The reason most people go with the in-house lender is because they push so many incentives. And in the market right now, they're offering $30,000, $50,000. And they're giving all of that just to buy down the rate, just to give people a semblance of confidence to stay in the market with the builder.
Right.
It's hard for any other lender to compete against that.
I understand the reason why the builder wants to get you to use their lender and get pre-approved with them. I understand that, because mm-hmm. once they start, they're spending money. And they mm-hmm. want to know they have an actual client. But I've seen the $20,000 and $30,000.
It's not
real money.
No. I mean,
you got to remember, they're builders. They're not in the mortgage business. They're going to inflate or put prices out here that aren't real to give it away, so you think you're getting something, and you're not.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the way they make it
look.
It's
monopoly money.
That's what I call it, monopoly money.
Yeah, for sure.
You're listening to Your Money Matters. Our special guest, Allison Wall. Keller Williams, DTC, her number, 303-246-6707. Again, that's 303-246-6707. We got to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Here's why you need personal injury attorney Kevin Flesh on your side. He understands the way the jury thinks. In the context of a personal injury case, you have been hurt by someone else's negligence. The idea is that you're going to try to recover so that you can get back to where you were just prior to that incident occurring. What that really means from a jurist's perspective is that you're going to be asking them to award you money. So when we talk about fairness, we're talking about six people that you don't know. Those six people hear evidence and make a unanimous decision that will decide what the fair value is. When you're the one that's hurt, you have a good idea of what you think it's worth. The question is, can you persuade those other individuals, whom you don't know and weren't witnesses, to believe that's what the case is worth? Kevin Flesh understands the way the jury thinks. Call now for a free consultation, 303-806-8886. Flesh and Beck Law. They get results.
Rates just keep going up, making it harder to buy or refinance a home. Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Make your 30-year payment, but own your home in 15 years, all while paying half the interest. Have access to your equity for 30 years without having to refinance and pay more fees. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. There are thousands of customers taking advantage of this simple interest loan. It's times like this when you can really save in your interest costs and pay less. Go to AIMortgage.net and see our Google reviews about the Asset Manager Mortgage. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Get up to 90% loan to value and up to $2 million in loan amount, all at the same rate as a $100,000 loan. Whether you want a condo, second home, investment, or cash out, all come with the same rate. No more paying higher fees and higher rates. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Pay less interest and own your home faster. Call 720-895-0500. NMLS 298191, regulated by DOR, Equal Credit Lender.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Your Money Matters, brought to you by Affordable Interest Mortgage. Once again, any mortgage needs, give Kurt a call, 720-895-0500. If you're just joining us, Allison Wall is our guest. Keller Williams, DTC. Allison's number, 303-246-6707. So, Allison, I think one thing hard about this whole realtor thing is everybody knows one, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, everybody knows a realtor.
More than one.
Yeah, more than one,
if they
probably
only know one, right, they fill up the turnip truck
exactly
last week.
They got one in the family.
Yeah, they do.
So what is your, I don't know if we've ever really talked about it, what is your process trying to figure out if you're a good fit for a client that calls you and, you know, good fit for the client to you? I mean, what are your opening few minutes and time that you spend with him? What are just some of the questions, I guess, that you may ask to figure out, hey, is this a good fit for me?
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of times I'm just letting them share what it is, you know, for a buyer. I'm saying, tell me, when are you looking to buy? What is your story? What's bringing you here? Are you, they might be local, they might mm-hmm. be out of state. What are you looking for? And then I'm wanting to hear, tell me about the neighborhood. What's the vibe of the community they're looking for? It's not hard to find a 3-bedroom, 2-bath house, a 4-bedroom, 3-bathroom house. Houses are houses in almost every situation, unless someone's looking for architecture, right? Unless they want a historic home, unless they want a mid-mod home, then it's more specific. But if they're looking for space, then we're looking for community first, right? So we talk about that. So it's really a get to know you. Are you going to be remote? Are you going to be commuting? And as we talk through those things, if they share and if we can connect, then you learn. There's a chemistry. Mm-hmm. And if there's not, then there's not.
There's not.
and that happens. I mean, I have people who just are very short and very fearful, have kind of that fear of a realtor, fear of a salesperson mindset, or fear, you know, just a fear to share. And it's generally just not going to work. Mm-hmm. But most of the time, there's just they're ready to just kind of go, I've got to move, so here it is.
Yeah.
And then I'll say, well, what questions do you have for me? Because along the way, I'm saying, well, here's what I think about what you just said. Here's a community I think that's going to fit. Well, based on that, if one of you is going to have to commute into Denver and you think you only want to drive 30 minutes, but you think you want a really good school district and you think you need 4 bedrooms, but you think you need all that under $700,000, I think it's going to be really hard, number one. And that, you know, and you want a new construction home, and you want, so then we're trying to kind of teach and learn. And so if they're willing to start to have those conversations, we just start to build right. a relationship off that. And it just kind of goes from there.
Well, I tell you, we had an employee here several months ago, and she came in one day and was asking me, and she was locked in with a realtor, and she had a few frustrations there. And I said, call Allison, okay? So she did. And in like 3 days, Allison sold her whatever. So I don't know what all that was about. Or I didn't get into all that. But I'm just saying experience counts. And that's what I think we all have, the aunt or uncle, like you say, everybody knows a realtor. And then you feel bad if you don't deal with a family member. Probably not a good idea to deal with a family member in that car. What do you think? Because there
could
be emotions in there that you're not going to have, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there
yep.
may be for a family member, so.
Yep. In that situation, the person we're talking about,
yep.
no one ever asked her when she had to, what her deadlines were. She had deadlines to meet. And no one ever counted backwards on how to meet the deadlines and work accordingly, pricing mm-hmm. and marketing-wise.
Right.
So we worked through that in a 10-minute conversation, it was fixed.
It was done.
Yeah. You kind of find the driving motive in what they're doing and why they're doing it, and you kind of work around that one.
Yeah, yeah. So that one was a listing. So that's a key part when you're working with someone with a listing. Okay, you have to go somewhere. Why do you have to go somewhere? When do you have to be there? What is your goal? You know, if you get someone who says, I don't really have to sell. Really, you don't have to sell? I mean, if they don't, that's probably not a good fit for any agent. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's work for us, so we have to sell. But if they do, then you're trying to line up. Why do you have to go? When do you have to be there? And then we've got to figure out, what does your house look like and is it marketable? Because if you have to be there in 6 weeks, we need your house on the market in 7 days from now, pretty much, mm-hmm. really yesterday. But is your house even ready? Sure. And so hopefully you're calling me and saying, I need to be there in 4 months and we've got time to work on some things.
That's kind of my next question. You're one of the rare agents that I've dealt with in 20 years that about 50% of what you do, you're a listing agent, and the other 50, you're a buyer's agent. That's hard. That gives you a better perspective. So with that perspective, what helps sell, what homes are selling now? What type of homes, what maybe the area, and what are the sellers doing to help you sell that home? Because it's not just you putting it out there.
Right.
The sellers have got a lot of involvement in this.
Yeah.
Much more now than they did.
The agents aren't the only ones that sell homes, and sometimes people think that's the case. The homes that are selling right now, you know, when it was last year, it was any home that hit the market
yep.
sold, unless it was caving in a sinkhole. The homes that are selling right now are ones that seem low maintenance. When someone walks in the door, they think, this isn't going to cost me more money, because right now interest is costing me too much money. I know I'm going to get rid of the interest, a lot of it, when we refi soon or through my current 2-1 buy down or whatever method I'm using right now. And down the road, we're going to get back to 4 or 5%, and I'm
yes.
good with that. But I don't have the financial bandwidth to take on a project house. So it needs to be low maintenance, ready to go. It doesn't have mm-hmm. to be perfect. Doesn't have to be HGTV, but it needs to not cost me time and money.
I don't need appliance issues. I don't need carpet issues.
That's right.
If I want to paint something, I'm fine.
Right. If paint's a personal choice, but it better not be peeling paint on the outside.
Correct.
The house needs to be ready. That's what's selling. So when you see a house where the seller has let things go and then did not prepare for listing, it's costing them money and it's costing them time. And houses are already taking more time to sell in this market.
Yep.
Buyers are slow to make decisions. They're appreciating and enjoying the time they have in this market. They feel zero urgency to see a house on a Friday and make an offer on a Monday. So everything's taking more time. So then as a house sits, the longer it sits, then when someone sees it, they go in with an even more critical eye. And if it's brass fixtures, peeling paint, weeds in the yard, appliances that maybe don't match or are dated, you name it, it just gets picked apart. And the feedback will be, the house needs more work than my buyers want to put into it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's price cut after price cut after price cut.
And once you start that, it can just lead to where you're dropping it too low, and it seems like the homes are depreciating, but it's not the homes. It's homes that aren't ready to be sold.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
They're not a material.
And that's right.
Like you said, if people want to spend money on a home, they'll buy a new build, because you could spend a lot after you buy it.
Yeah, absolutely. And the challenge is, so I'm aware of a listing that was purchased last year, hot market, and like most people, the buyers paid a premium.
Yes.
We don't want to say overpaid, paid a premium. Had they stayed in this home long term and worked on the things that were needing to be done in that home when they purchased it, it would be fine. They turned around a year later in this current market, and it's listed for sale, had a reason to leave and move. But they never did any projects that came up in the inspection. So the house hasn't been touched, hasn't been improved, nothing's been done, and it's a mature home. It's built in the 50s, so it's mid-mod era. You can't leave a home untouched for a year and then turn around and try to make money off it in a market that has peaked but has started to decline. There's trouble there.
How many people give you a call and they go, hey, I want to sell my house, and you come over and they think it's ready to go? Are there very few that are really, truly ready to go?
Oh, most houses are not ready to go. No.
But the homeowner might think, well, yeah, I might need to move one or two little things. But staging is key, too.
Yes. There are a lot of people who actually live very clean, very tidy, and it's simple. But there are so many small nuances and things that you want to do. And then when you really get them going and you point out, well, I want you to take off your sunscreens because your house faces west and you put those up, which has done a great thing. It's protected your floors, but I need them to go, and I need you to, spray and wash. And then they realize it's going to take them 2 weeks,
mm-hmm.
And then people who never do that, it would literally take them 2 months to get their house ready.
Yes, and she's not picking on your house, Scott. You have a beautiful home, but you'd have to stage it by taking down 56 heads and animals that you have all over the house, because people would come.
Is that
in
not a selling point, Allison?
It's a niche market.
A niche market, yeah, for just me.
They'd walk in, turn out, walk out. Yeah. But you already know that.
Hey, it's like a zoo, man.
It is.
They made a movie about that, I think. I bought a zoo.
Yeah, exactly. Once again, hey, if you are considering a move and whether you're buying, selling, and maybe not right now, maybe you're thinking about spring. To me, Allison, it's never too early just to say hello, see if there's a good fit, and start a conversation, right?
Just like we were talking about. It could be months that I could want months of work for you to be landscaping. It's going to be months. We got to plan ahead. If your yard is needing some work, we're going to be talking about, prepping months ahead. So it's never too early.
Absolutely. Her number, 303-246-6707. And you can check out her website at livesouthdenver.com. We'll take another break. Be back with more right after this.
Do you know what direction the stock market will go? Nope, no one does. But it's extremely important to discover the tools you can use if the market goes up, down, or sideways. These same tools could be used for income strategies or long-term wealth strategies. Text the word investing to the number 210-210 and join us for a free investing class right here at OTA. Text the word investing to the number 210-210 today. Also, check out the podcast, Investing and Trading Live, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Before we get back to our guests, let me tell you about Stack Optical. And I just want to say a personal word of thanks to Alan for taking care of me, my wife, Victoria, and our optical needs, and many friends that we've sent there. And Alan has been doing a great job there. Family owned and operated since 1968 is Stack Optical. And it's only $69 for an eye exam, so call them today, 303-321-1578. And mention you heard them here on KLZ 560, and we'd appreciate that. But hey, if you're looking for some new glasses, they've got a great selection of frames. If you need contacts, maybe you've broken your glasses and you need repairs, it's a one-stop shop, so to speak, at Stack Optical. Hey, it's free parking, easy parking at their location right off Monaco and Evans, 2233 South Monaco Parkway, 303-321-1578. StackOptical.com is a website. Check it out. And as I always say at Stack Optical, you'll see the difference.
This is KLZ 560, your home station.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio and our special edition of Your Money Matters, brought to you by Affordable Interest Mortgage. Give Kurt a call if you got any mortgage questions whatsoever, 720-895-0500. Allison Wall is our guest, Keller Williams, DTC. Once again, her website, livesouthdenver.com.
Okay, we talked about being from the seller's point of view, the listing agent. Now let's flip hats.
Yeah.
Let's go to the buyer's agent. So when you're walking into a house, I'm sure with a buyer, you're looking, it almost has to be a giveaway how good that agent was that got that house ready to be prepared for you to sell it, because you do both sides. But how do you help the buyer in that scenario?
Yeah, you know, I sometimes look at it and just go, oh, did the sellers not listen to the agent? Because, you know, not everyone listens. It's like children.
That's right.
As much as you try. So, especially if I know the agent. But yes, sometimes you go, do they know what they're doing? But yeah, I mean, you look around and you say, well, I mean, these might work to your advantage, or this animal smell might be why this house is lingering on the market. But if you don't care, or you're willing to take up the carpet, we just sold and closed on a beautiful home in Sapphire Point in Castle Rock. It had been sitting there for a while, and I honestly did not know why. And I said, the only thing that in this house is that the carpets, they've had dogs and they needed to put new carpet down. And my folks go, we've got dogs and kids, we don't care.
They had to find the right buyer.
Yeah. It was the only thing in that house. It was gorgeous.
And a lot of times the owners, odors of the
oh yeah, they don't, they're nose blind.
They're like, what smell? It smells great.
It's an agent's job to bring those things up as delicately as possible.
You're not trying to hurt their feelings,
right? But I mean, you have to just kind of say, you know,
while you're holding your nose.
You have to go, you have pets, I have pets, our pets carry their own scent with them. And others will notice it, you know. But
yeah, you know, if you were to walk into a house with a lot of cats and you're allergic to cats, I'm done.
Yeah, for sure.
Because it can affect you.
Sure. You know, we talked about staging. I think, of course, most of the time that's inside. We're talking about that. But then when you look at, I guess, what you term curb appeal. I mean, have you ever pulled up to a house and people go, no, I'm not even getting out of the car? I mean, just because of the way it looked. Now, probably not if you had something to do with that person, but maybe there was another agent had it listed or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. But more often than not, it usually has to do with the style of the home than the yard.
Gotcha.
I would say, particularly out of the season that we've come out of with a major shortage of inventory, people haven't been that ready to cut off their nose to spite their face, if you will. It usually has to do with something that's very difficult to change. Not so much, I don't like the sod, the tree, because you can bring in someone to overhaul the yard.
Right.
It's more, it doesn't have a front porch and I absolutely positively want a front porch. It's a dream of mine. Or I hate the slope of the roof, or the windows look like it's a face, you know, it's two eyes and the door looks like a nose and that's awkward. Or, you know, it's those kinds of things where they just go, no. Sometimes it will be the paint color. You know, they start to label it. It's a Ronald McDonald house. It's a ocean blue. And you have to kind of go, well, maybe it needs a paint job and we can negotiate that in, and the HOA is going to approve the color you want. So let's still go see the house. You have to work through some of that.
You do see some houses. You're like, what were they thinking?
Oh, yeah.
When they painted that.
And if it's in an HOA, you go, well, who approved that?
Exactly.
Who, like, were they buddies with the president? How did that even get through? Oh, yeah.
Well, I've got a house right across the street. The guy that bought the house, original owner, bought it in 77. Never replaced anything. ended up, wife was sick, and they moved away, but they rented the house out. They never touched anything. I mean, same cabinets, same counter, same tile in the bathrooms, the old aluminum windows. And they decided to put it on the market. The market was $6,650, and they put it on for $675. But they made one condition. You can't come to the house. You have to make an appointment to come to the house, and it says needs a little TLC. Well, they got no shoppers except for one guy, and he's the fix-and-flip guy. Came in. He's spending the money. He's making the house nice. Everything about it's wrong. But they lost probably $120,000, $130,000 on the bid because that's the only person who would buy it.
Yeah, the only one who saw it.
They had a big boat in the backyard they never wanted to take out. I mean, and I was like, and I knew the kid. I said, are you going to do anything before you try to sell this? He said, no, it'll bring the money. No, it won't. When you need that much work, no, it won't. You have to put I'm seeing you have to put something into it because we're even having appraisers when they look at a house. If they see something, they'll say, well, we think that's mold. We want an inspection. They're being very cautious in how they're wanting to finance on homes. So if it needs any kind of work, they're coming in and saying, okay, we need to fix it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I will say that, you know, people need to think about their home as an asset. That sounds like a duh statement, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I have worked with people who have owned multiple homes and, you know, they may be in the process of selling one in another state and they're selling one with me and the one they're selling with me is already a struggle because of the way they've cared for it. And they come back and say, you know, hey, if a appraiser puts a condition on a loan, what does that mean? And I'm thinking they're talking about the one we're working on. You know, I'm going, well, we aren't there yet. What are you concerned about? And as we dig in on the conversation, I realize they've got a condition on another property because it wasn't cared for. And so some people just don't care for their assets. And that will come back and bite you. And so consider this a PSA. If you haven't done a roof check, haven't unplugged your hoses from your bibs as we head into fall, you know, just the basic things. If you need to sell your home in the next 1 to 5 years, start doing some sprucing. Because the more you can spread the costs out, the easier it is in your pocketbook, and the more money you're going to get back when you have to sell. Period. It's just the way it is.
Yeah. And it doesn't take a lot. Is you just have somebody else with a different set of eyes
comes
up and
say,
okay, what do you see when you walk up?
Well, yeah.
You know, one of the big things I see is there's always cobwebs by people's front door.
Yeah, yeah.
It's automatic.
And it'll be there every 3 months. So, yeah. You know, I mean, that's just.
It's a simple fix.
Yeah. Yeah.
But exactly. It gets missed.
Yeah. Man, when do you go out your front door?
We do it all the time sitting in the front porch.
Oh, do you? Okay. So hardly ever go out.
That's where the sun is, so we're okay.
Gotcha. So did you guys find over these last couple of years, you know, people buying and selling all that, was there a percentage of what came into Colorado from out of state versus people moving around the state? I mean, did you have?
I would say a lot of folks that I work with came in from out of state, and the people that are coming in from out of state had more money. They were coming from, a lot of them come from California,
and thought these were some deals here.
New York. Yeah.
Yeah. New York, Chicago.
Right.
So funny enough, a lot of our younger people are leaving for Chicago. Survey after survey shows that. They're leaving for Chicago, which I don't get.
Me neither.
But a lot of mature, established, career-oriented people are coming from Chicago to here. They're getting rid of those taxes, and they're coming to better weather. But these are all expensive cities, expensive locales, and they're moving here and looking at what they get lifestyle and property wise and going, I don't care what the bidding wars are. I win. I've been paying rent or I've owned, and this is perfectly fine for me. And oftentimes pocketing some change, or if they were renting, they're turning out better. I mean, I have a couple who they're kind of coming up maybe on their 2-year anniversary on their house. Their rent was $4,000 a month. They didn't care what they bid on a house. They were going to net $1,000 positive a month,
sure.
No matter what. It didn't. I mean, it didn't matter to them.
Yeah.
They were like overpay,
less.
Yeah, overpay over schmay. Like, yeah. I mean, they were like, all of you can keep throwing money. I mean, we're gonna win. We win no matter what. Thanks.
Yeah. You talked earlier about appreciation being 8 to 10%. There's a lot of naysayers that the market's crashing and it's going to go down 20-30%. I have my own opinion about that. I'd like you to kind of voice yours. 20% of what? Who's setting the numbers is my first question. But do you see the market changing a whole lot in the next 6 months to a year? And I know you're not a
prognosticator. I don't like to be one. Yeah.
You might want to be a procrastinator.
I am a procrastinator sometimes, but I do not see anything close to a 20% drop in home values. There's not enough inventory, and there is so much pent-up demand. When rates had hit 6, right, when they first hit 6, and then they blipped back down to 5.25, there was a surge in the market. You actually asked me to come back on, and I couldn't.
Yeah.
I was so busy for 2 months straight in the supposed, you know, rates are high and the market's crashing and all the media was horrible about how they're, you know, we're just going into recession. I was so busy I could barely lift my head up to do anything but sell homes. And rates had dropped, quote, you know, air quotes here, to 5.25. People are waiting for every sign of a rate drop to go and snatch up houses. So the next time they come down, which we even just had a little blip from you know, close to 7 down into the mid-6s, another flurry of activity. People want to lock in rates.
And they pick it up real quick now.
People pick it up so quick. If they are an active buyer, they are talking to their lender. Their lenders are talking to them.
Yeah.
Good lenders stay in communication with their active clients who they know are on the hunt, not just kind of like, you know, hey, you know. So these surges are, they're ready, they're waiting. The buyers are ready. The demand is there. So as soon as the feds take their foot off the pedal, we are going to be right in the hot, active market. There's no way we are going to get to 20% drop.
See,
we aren't even at a drop. We're still 8% year over year in growth, price growth.
Yeah, a lot of people think because the house that sold, and you might have had a client that paid $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 over on a premium price for a home, and now it's still selling for the same price without that $30,000. It's selling for the appraised price.
Right.
It didn't depreciate.
No.
The figure's still the same number.
That's right.
But they look at it as a depreciation of the home, and that's not what we're seeing.
Mm-mm.
There are some, you talk about brokers having, I have a list of about 20, 25 people in that market. They're out there and we're talking. I'm paying attention. Once a week we have a conversation. Just they're waiting on the market to be able to pull that trigger, or they find something. How can I do this? How can I do that? And the majority of those, I don't call them first-time home buyers, but they're younger. They don't have quite as much cash down, but they can handle the payment. And with these 2-1 buy-downs in these programs, and FHA, they're running to just find me something that I like and I'll buy it.
Yeah.
So we're
before it gets to 7.5 or 8, because we know the feds meet in a couple weeks again, and we know they plan to meet again in December, and we know that the job rate is still strong and they don't feel like it's under control. So we know that their intentions are to keep trucking along with rate increases on the base rate. So people are motivated.
Sure.
It's still capturable. The prices on homes, the sellers are motivated. 2-1 buy downs are working because they're looking at it and going, well, 2 off of 7 is 5. That's doable. And then I'll get a raise or whatever. So then I'm at 6 in a year. And then in 2 years, everyone's kind of saying we'll probably be.
The rates will go down.
The rates
will refinance go down.
It. Yeah. So the strategy in people's minds that are actually in this game are that this will work.
Yeah.
And they want to do it now.
Even though the rate says this, I'm not paying that. I'm paying this.
That's right.
And within 2 years, and they're paying less money to own at that than they are to rent.
They for sure are.
Like the people with 4 that are, their payments are now 3.
Mm-hmm.
They got $3,000. Yeah, let me go. Just give me something.
Yes.
You know, I'm seeing the same thing.
Yes.
What are you guys seeing in appraisals? Are any problem there when something comes back? Are most of those coming in pretty?
I'm doing okay. I'm not seeing much of a challenge.
Every now and then it's more specific about an appraiser and maybe a lender you're dealing with that they're trying to control the market, but I normally don't have too many of them. The values are coming in most cases they're coming in $5,000 to $15,000 over what we estimate.
Okay. Yep, that's where I'm at. I just had one come back. The purchase price was $510, appraisal $527.
Yeah.
Oh, so. Do you deal with many people that want to get out and maybe have a little acreage and horse property or anything like that?
Yep. Love it.
How does that work in the mortgage world, Kurt? Does that complicate things? When there's acreage?
Yeah, depending on the acreage and the type of loan. Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac will go to 10 acres. Some of them will go to higher acreage, but they'll only count 10 acres of the value. They'll go up to 40. Almost nobody wants to go above 40. I have some lenders, but most don't.
So if somebody's got 80 acres, they want to give them credit for...
They'll give them credit for 10, not the other 70. But that's not normally a problem because you're dealing in all the comps are the same way.
Gotcha.
They're not giving value to that extra acreage anyhow. One of the big things you have to ask is it a modular manufactured home on a foundation? Because when you start getting an acreage, a lot of people will buy a modular, which is just like a normal stick-built home. Or they'll buy a nice manufactured, and there's some great ones, and they'll put it on a foundation.
Hmm.
That changes some parts of the loan at times. Not the modular, but the manufacturer does.
Right. Good deal. Allison Wall is our guest. Hey, give Allison a call. Again, no matter what your timing is, hey, if it's within the next year or whatever, hey, just meet her. Let her get to know you. Find out what your needs are and what you're trying to accomplish. As she said earlier, you can reach her now, 303-246-6707. That's 303-246-6707.
Turn a normal day into an adventure on an e-bike. Hi, I'm Randy Caranci, founder of eBike of Colorado. E-bikes are a fun way to ride around town. Just try it. Pedal Assist technology flattens the steepest hills. We have 14 major brands to choose from, and our expert staff will find you the perfect bike. Come take a free test ride at eBike of Colorado in downtown Louisville next to the historic grain elevator. Open 7 days a week from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Learn more at ebikeofcolorado.com. Just try it.
Choosing Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center almost 20 years ago was one of the best decisions we ever made for our pets. Hey, this is Scott Watley, and I know it's a busy time of the year for all of us, but it's no reason to forget about our pets. Our pets are a part of our family, and they need their checkups and preventative care just as we humans do. Whether a pet is new to the family or has been a family member for many years, regular checkups are the foundation of our pet's overall health. Depending on your pet's age, a preventative care visit will include the basics, such as an exam and vaccinations, diet and weight management, and parasite preventatives. But it could also involve a spay or neuter discussion, microchipping, concerns about house training, or behavior issues. At Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center, the medical team will take the time to get to know your pet and address the concerns you have about your pet's care. It's what your pet deserves, and it's good medicine. Whether your pet needs medical, dental, or surgical care, boarding, grooming, behavior training, pet foods, or pet care products, you'll find it at Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center, the place where my pets go. Call today, 303-708-8050. That's 303-708-8050. And don't forget to visit their website at LoneTreeVet.com.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Your Money Matters, brought to you by Affordable Interest Mortgage. Allison Wall is our special guest, Keller Williams, DTC. Once again, her number, 303-246-6707. Her website is livesouthdenver.com. So, Allison, right now the media is just pounding us. Mm-hmm. How bad everything is, and it's bad it is. But with that comes opportunity, and you were just kind of talking during the break. People need to realize that in these tough times, there are still good opportunities.
Well, okay. What do we all do? Not all, but what do most Americans do on Black Friday?
Shop.
Why?
4 a.m. Yeah.
Because it's a sale, right?
That's right.
Okay, so. Not every house is on sale, but that is actually what the media is telling us, right? Mm-hmm. Home prices are dropping. Home prices are dropping. Dropping means sale. Essentially, it's like taking the original price and putting a slash through it. So if home prices are quote-unquote on sale, shouldn't we be heading toward them just like we race to the stores on Black Friday or we go to the mall between Christmas and New Year to do those exchanges and get rid of the bad gift and get the good ones because those are on sale too. We all love a sale. Everyone likes something that's a quote-unquote deal.
Sure.
If our homes are less now than they were over the last 2 years, which they currently are, and they will continue to be while the feds have their finger on the rates.
Yep.
And they are probably going to go down some. They're not going to drop 20%, in my opinion. And I don't know anybody actually who thinks that, who's in the real estate world and mortgage world. Then this is an opportunity. And everyone who has interest in buying a home, a first home, a second home, their next home, and selling one, should have their eyes toward the real estate market. This is a season of opportunity. Yes, you buy and sell in the same market generally. Mm-hmm. Not everyone has the opportunity to go buy another home while you're still holding the one you're in, because often you're taking the assets out of one to leverage them for the other. But that's not the situation for everyone. When something's on sale, you should be pointed that direction and at least watching and keeping a pulse and not listening to the naysayers. What's the saying in media? If it bleeds, it leads, right? So they're just trying to make it bleed more, sure, because it keeps everyone's eyes that
absolutely
way. But that's not necessarily the truth and the right perspective.
One of the things, and I've talked with several people, I said, if you the prices have come down. Let's take the house at 700, it appraised at 650. So maybe it's come to 650. But the rate's up. When you put the two numbers together, if the price has come down 50 but the rate went up, you still got the same payment as the 700
right
at the 4%.
Yeah.
It's the same money. They're just moving where it's at.
Yes.
So that goes along with the idea that there's opportunity, with the idea that I'm going to save, and then in maybe a year or two, I refinance and get that lower rate. I've won the game because I bought it at a lower price. Then I can refinance it down the road and even lower my price more.
That's right.
And that comes into play. And I've got a couple of customers on this. When they come out and they said, I want to buy an investment property. And I will always say to them, have you thought of a two or a fourplex? And they go, well, I can't afford it. I said, you don't have to afford it. I said, on a fourplex, you've got three people paying your rent, giving you income, and you could actually pay less money than buying a single family home, because of the payments that are coming in from somebody else. So you, even though the price is higher, you've got support coming in from the other side. Some people are starting to take advantage of that. As those prices stabilize, because the big players are out of the game, there's more people starting to look at two and fourplexes because they're really a great buy.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a vet, they're an outstanding buy because you can buy a fourplex with no money down as a vet.
Yeah.
So it makes it really nice.
Yeah. If you have enough liquidity behind you and enough of your VA eligibility, you've got some great opportunity on a VA loan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Whether you live in it or not, there's just some tremendous opportunity right mm-hmm. now. So when you're comparing the two, well, if I'm saving 50 grand here and the rate's a quarter or a half a point higher, it's the same money.
Yeah. Well, let's just even leave the rate out because of the opportunities to do a 2-1 buy down, to do an ARM, to
yes.
know that we're going to refi. Let's just take the flat price of the property. It is less in most cases than it has been over the last 2 years or
yes.
even 18 months. And it's going to continue to be that way for, let's just say, 9 months. I think prices are going to flatten and soften over the next 9 months. I don't think the Fed's going to lift their foot off the pedal for mm-hmm. at least 6 months. Okay, that's my guesstimate. So all eyes who have interest in real estate should have them on the market and taking the opportunity, take the reins and go get a property. Go buy a second home. If you're in your 40s, I'm not quite there yet, right, Kurt?
That's correct. 38.
Max. but you want a single level home in your 60s. This is what my husband and I want. We want a single level rancher that backs to open space and has mountain views. Right now, today, those homes run $1.2, $1.3 million, depending on size.
Right.
If you wait to buy that 20 years from now and it increases at 4% a year, it's going to be nearly $3 million house.
Yeah.
Can you take that out of your retirement and your assets and buy that in 20 years? Talk to your financial planner. If you can't, maybe you could buy that today and rent either that one out or your current house out.
You bring up a very good point where most people forget that when the market's starting to move like it is. Homes appreciate at 4% a year every year for the last 60 years.
Mm-hmm.
So if I lose, let's say the market drops 5%, that means I'm going to pick that back up in a year or two down the road.
Mm-hmm.
It's still 4% per year on the price of the home. It never changes. So you buy them when they're low, sell them when they're high.
Right.
It's just economics. But a lot of people get kind of caught up with, well, the prices are going to keep coming down. So what? I'm right. still going to turn around and make the money on the other side.
You're going to make the money on the other side.
Yeah.
Right. And so what are your goals? And how can you reach them? And how can you look at this as an opportunity? And so the media wants to scare everyone else away. Great. Then let them chum the water and pull people that direction, and you keep your eyes on the prize. People need to remember.
Right. Yeah. Otherwise, we'd have a 3-month supply of homes, and we don't.
And we don't.
No, we don't have them.
And Kurt, I mentioned, you know, never too early to call Allison, but I guess the conversation kind of starts with Kurt too, right?
Yeah.
To get approved and all that. So, Kurt, never too early to start that with from your end too, for people to give you a call.
No, and I've talked many times about different things to look at. If you want the best rate, we can start now, and I can look at your credit and tell you how to get it to the best score so you get the best rate. And sometimes it might only be $235 fixes you from a 680 to a 740.
Mm-hmm.
It's so easy to do. I'm not a credit repair, but I can show you ways to make that work. And it only takes 10 days to do. But it gets you a start to know where you want to go. And I have several of those customers. We're working through a process to get them to this score so that they can get to this rate and make the loan work.
All right.
So it's, you're right. It's never too late. Your pre-approval is good for 90 days. You just want to know, what can I buy? What can I not buy?
Right. And you don't want to be taking somebody out. Can't afford something you're shopping.
Oh yeah, everybody needs to be pre-approved.
Because that's a bummer.
Yeah, just yeah. At $4
gas. And it's a courtesy to the sellers too.
Yeah, for sure. Allison, as always, thank you very much. Always
so
a pleasure to have you in. Thank you for your expertise.
Now you go home, take a nap.
Yeah, my time changed. Yes, I don't know. It's like
I hate this time change coming. I hate this time change.
Me too.
Oh, hate it. We should just leave it alone.
Well,
I think next year.
They voted. It's done.
Absolutely.
We'll change one more, and that's it.
All right.
It'll stay that way.
Kurt, thank you, sir. Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Don't go anywhere. Leave it right here on KLZ 560.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.